It's a great, beautiful sun. You know, the sun's starting to come out today after the rain and fog and whatever else we have to deal with. It's a great day to be here this morning. Are there any announcements we need to cover?
How many? I have just a couple. Next Saturday, we're going to be feeding the folks at Church Under the Bridge. So we're going to be here at 1 o'clock. We're going to be stuffing cookies in bags. We're going to be fixing grilled cheese sandwiches. The menu is all ready, so we'll take all. The cookie packing can be done, hopefully, by the younger youth, and then the older youth and the adults can do the grilled cheese sandwiches and prepare the meal. We will be leaving here around 5 o'clock. We'll be there somewhere between 5:15 and 5:30, be set up, ready to serve at 6 o'clock. So if you want a blessing, if you want to be a blessing to some folks, come out next week. And if you're not and you don't like it, I'll refund you the price of your ticket next Sunday. So, all that being said, I would like to meet with Quaker men and the folks who are thinking that they would like to do this next Saturday. We could have a short meeting down front at the Rise of Worship. Thank you.
So what that's paid for is he wants everybody to meet down front after worship. That's a great service opportunity. It is not a Quaker men thing. It is not a circle thing. It is just a wonderful opportunity to serve those that are in need.
Tommy, there is something else associated with that ministry. There's a fence up there where all they hang winter clothing and coats. And I understood, I learned just a few minutes ago that someone in the congregation has some that they would like for us to take up there when we go. So we thought, well, we'll open it up. If anyone else in the congregation has winter clothing items that may aid the homeless, if they would get those here by 5 o'clock next Saturday, that we could transport them up there and hang them up for putting them to use.
So clean out your sweaters and your coats. I saw on Facebook last week that the fence was actually empty, which means they need more winter clothing, and we know it's getting colder, so by all means, take this opportunity this week to do some cleaning a little bit and consider serving. My heart is partial to it, having known somebody there the last time we did this. But I'm telling you, there's something for everybody. Even if you just stood there and watched, you can get a blessing. You sat there and listened, you can get a blessing. Or you give a cookie, or you serve a bottle of water, or you just say, God bless you. The conversations that you have with folks, they're no different than you or I. They just don't have a warm building to go to like we do. No different than you or I. It could very well easily be you or I going to get that meal during a crisis in our life. So I encourage you, please come down front after worship, and just even if you want to just ask questions, just listen to what the ministry is about and what we're serving and what we're doing. I'm putting it in your heart that you just pray about it. Any other announcements? Come and eat early, you can stay and help. So you can buy a ticket, get you some food, and then come back and help. So it's a wonderful outreach opportunity. It's just a good fellowship time for folks. It is a lot of work. Everyone goes home tired. And so between the cooks and the serving staff, the cleanup, and our youth, we need our young people help as well. So if you can help with that, it'd be great. Also, I'll let you know that monthly meeting is tonight at 7 p.m. And also, next Sunday is our female collection, our monthly female collection, and we need hand towels. So bring those to worship with you on Sunday, the 26th. That's next Sunday. Any other announcements? If not, our ushers come forward, please. Offerings today, Lord, we lift them to you. We lift lifted in praise and in worship. Everything that we do in our life is in worship and remembrance of what your sacrifice of your Son was for us. Lord, I ask that you fill our minds with the knowledge and the leading and your will to best use whatever you want us to use. Prick our hearts to serve where we need to serve and give where we need to give. Again, we are blessed beyond measure, and we thank you for that. And I ask that you urge us to share the blessing with others. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
lunch for you. That's all right. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would go upstairs and see the science project. So maybe I can get one after children's home. After children's church. Excuse me.
Okay.
Who saw God this week? Oh, hands are as good. That's not what you did in the week. Anybody want to share with God our praise? You're among friends, go ahead.
Well, everyone knows she's 2 and a half, and I talk about her constantly, but she's coming to the age now where she can play and entertain herself, which is really nice. I really like that. But this week she was playing with her baby doll, and she likes it when you sing a song to her, so I caught her singing to her baby the song Mary, Did You Know? And at some point she started winging it, I guess, because I played the song for her this Christmas and wasn't sure it stuck, but apparently it did, and she liked it enough to send it to her baby.
That's awesome. Anybody else?
Tommy, Caroline has made some good improvements and seems to be back on track pretty much. Still tired, but doing much better. So thank you for all your prayers.
Yep, for the big kids, it was exam week last week, so they had testing and changing of the semester is okay, so we come in soon, so we'll be swapping classes. Any other praises? Nothing is too small, nothing is too great. Well, with our praises come our prayer requests, and I have just a couple. We need to remember Darren and Sally Stevens. They're on our prayer list, and for anybody who shopped at Triad Meats, that is the Sally at Triad Meats. Her husband, Darren, is battling throat cancer. I believe he was in a tonsillectomy and came out with a diagnosis of throat cancer. So we need to remember him and Sally, and also anybody that he affects at Triad Meats, because we do a lot of business with them both as a church, and a lot of folks here go there and use them for their supplies and their food. So we need to remember them. Also need to remember Forrest Shore. I spent a few hours with him at the ER 2 nights ago. He went in with some tightness of the chest, some dizziness, just not feeling right, and they did some different tests and said that he was okay, but he still has a little dizziness, so he'll be dealing with that. And anybody that may have had vertigo knows how awful that can be, so it may be a little bit of vertigo, but he'll be dealing with that. So pray for him, but also pray for Faith. She's recovering from her gallbladder surgery. Everything seems to be going pretty well, but with 2 sick and they rely on each other, that just adds more to Melissa and Elizabeth and Josh and Landon. So remember them as well. Any others we need to remember?
Yes, Michael Frank Slew is battling cancer and he's terminal, so he's going to hospital. That's my mother's brother.
Spell that last name for me.
S-L-O-O-P.
Slew. Any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, again, we're thankful that we can love you and we can come to you without any middleman. We love the fact that we can just silence ourselves and our busy lives and the giant world and just say, Jesus. You bless us beyond measure. You bless us beyond what we deserve as a fallen creation, as a defiant creation, as an unpeaceful creation. We do not deserve everything that you give us. The breath each day, the sun rising, the love of others around us. And we come to you asking for forgiveness and all that peacefulness and unrest in our lives. We know that coming to you, we can receive that forgiveness and that grace. And we are so, so thankful. And we worship you and we love you. And as we come to you, we bring needs of health issues, of the end of life issues. And we we pray that those who are coming towards the end of their lives, Lord, that they see you and they've accepted you, that they know that there is an eternal glory waiting for them if they believe. Lord, as we face the diagnosis of different things, that you give us the understanding that we can come to you and say, Lord, please, please help me. As we enter the winter season, the cold and flu season, Lord, there are many that are suffering from these setbacks. We know that as we go, that they can continue on and they can become bigger. Lord, give us the patience, give us the clearness to seek whatever medical attention that we need, that we don't just brush it off. You've placed knowledge in those who are physicians here on earth. Help us seek them and give them the wisdom to help us. Lord, there are unspoken requests. You know what's on our heart and our lives, weighing on our souls. Lord, you know the crosses that we bear from you, Lord. We ask that you remove them. We ask that you ease our backs from carrying the giants and the stress of the day to day. Lord, in this week, I pray that specifically that you touch hearts here that will feel a need to go serve this next weekend and in the future, Lord. Break hearts, open eyes, open ears, and give courage to those who may be scared to take that leap, serving others in an intimate way. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. I don't want to read the whole story. It's quite a bit. I'm going to give you the kind of the Cliff Notes version of it. But if you would, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we're going to look at a couple verses, but the whole story is 1 through 54 for this morning. And so I challenge you for your homework assignment this morning, or and later on this week, that you read 1 through 54. And then you go back and you listen to the message, and you can incorporate both the entire story and the message that was laid on my heart, and see kind of the big picture there. So again, your homework assignment, and there will be a test next Sunday, that you read chapters of chapter 1 through 54 of chapter 17. So the Cliff Notes version. So you have the Philistines that were standing on the mountainside, and they were on one side, and Israel stood on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And a giant from the city of Gath, G-A-T-H, by the name of Goliath, appeared on the Philistine side. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and he was covered with armor that weighed 125 pounds. He carried a bronze javelin with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds, and a shield bearer went before him. He yelled at the Israelites, and what he said belittled their manhood. He challenged them. He proposed a fight to the death for himself and a champion chosen from among the Israelites. And then he added, whichever man won for his nation, that the other nation would be their slaves. So that was kind of the reward. Israel won. The Philistines would be slaves to the Israelites, and then vice versa. So when Israel heard that, they were worried, because you got a 9-foot man carrying 125 pounds of armor yelling this across this area. Now David had 3 brothers who joined the army to fight the Philistines, and one day David's father asked him to take them some food. Now David wasn't the kind of guy that was going to sign up for the army. This wasn't his thing. He arrived at the camp, and the armies were facing each other, and they were arrayed for battle. And as he was talking with his brothers, Goliath came once again to ridicule Israel. This went on for, I think, 40 days, is what it said. Now, you have this big old bully. He's coming at you 40 days and saying, what you got? Step up. What you got? Bring it. We'll see what you got. Come on. Send your best guy, come on, let's fight. And then if I win, y'all are my slaves. If y'all win, we'll be your slaves. Bring it. Now you got someone in your ear talking junk, for lack of a better term, talking junk in your ear, challenging you. And you got an army. You got armies there, like, okay, well, let's do something. You know, put your money where your mouth is. Let's roll. But he couldn't believe his eyes that no one wanted to fight Goliath. David's like, what are you, hello? What are you doing? Let's roll with it. Come on. And then David and Saul had a conversation where David tells Saul that he will fight Goliath. And Saul tells David that he didn't stand a chance. Now David was a shepherd. He was a little boy, little guy, little man. And they knew he wasn't going to stand a chance against Goliath. But David said, telling the king, he said, how he killed a lion and a bear when they attacked his father's sheep. And furthermore, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And then Saul said to David, all right, go and the Lord be with you. After that, Saul placed his armor on David and said, okay, we'll put this on you. At least give you something. We'll give you this sword, but it's all too heavy for him. So he took it all off and said, okay, fight with this on. I can't do anything with this. He picked up his staff and 5 smooth stones and went out to face Goliath. And when Goliath saw David, he headed straight for him. He made fun of him for choosing that little boy to fight this big 9-foot bully. And he cursed David for thinking he could defeat a warrior as fierce as he is. Kind of like an intimidation or an insult. You send this guy to fight me? Really? Okay. And then David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. When the talking was over, David ran at Goliath, who was preparing to fight. a stone, and he slung it, and struck Goliath in his forehead. So the stone that sank into his forehead, and Goliath fell to the face of the earth. David ran and stood over Goliath, took his sword, healed him, cut off his head, and then they saw what happened to their champion, to their 9-foot champion. And what did they do? Oh, they turned and ran. That wasn't supposed to happen. David took the head and brought it to Jerusalem. Now that is the story of David and Goliath. Little guy fights big guy. Big guy loses. Big guy's army says, okay, bye now. And turns and runs. Because they saw this little guy in this fight with a simple stone. So I'll tell you kind of how this came about to me. So I've been thinking about this for a few days, and I didn't have an illustration for it, and it really wasn't a good message when I first wrote it out. And then last night, I went to the big city of Rancher to watch a basketball game that one of our young people were playing here in the church. And this was not your ordinary basketball game. Many of you have heard of Upper. Upper has all kinds of different church league-style sports programs, from soccer to basketball. They have, I think, Ultimate Frisbee and some other things. So this was an Upper program, and the teams I watched was a co-ed basketball game. So it's quite different. There were really short kids, and one grandmother said, look at that little man. And there were bigger kids, and then there were even bigger kids. And they were playing each other. Now I'm telling you, when the big kids ran towards the crowd of players and the little kids, it looked like a snow plow heading for a group of bicycles. Because this was the big youngins. And we're talking middle school age. But we're also talking Randolph County corn-fed middle school age. Those were some hosses. Those were there can account for a couple of them. Some moved out of the way of the big snow plows coming towards them. And I had the most fun watching this game because I saw kids on opposing teams checking on each other when there was a possible injury. I saw kids helping their enemy up off the floor. And I saw kids who were committed to the cause, no matter who they were guarding or what size they looked like they were guarding up against. Because you had little man running circles around the 9-foot-tall basketball player. Now, I'm not sure if you read the church sign by the road last week, but I placed a message on there. It says, a simple faith in a complicated world. And it kind of opens up for some thoughts there, and you can kind of take it and say, okay, simple faith in a complicated world. It almost pretty difficult to really sit back and list all the things that I'm dealing with. It's full of chaos. It's full of people. Sometimes we don't like people. People get on our nerves. But the one thing we can count on simple is our faith in Christ. That is the simplest thing in a world full of people, in a world full of stuff and ugliness. So I'll talk a little bit about faith this morning. So there's three kinds of faith that I was able to pull out of David and Goliath's story. And we're going to cover those. And so if you have your pens and pencils or you have some space on your bulletin, I'd love for you to write these three down or make notes in your Bible if you do so. And the first type of faith that we can see in this story is called solid faith. And you can associate that with verse 26. And it says in verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They would think, a solid faith, how's that kind of fit into that? And there was never a thought in David's mind that Goliath wouldn't be defeated. David didn't have any doubts that Goliath would be defeated. He was the little guy, but he knew he had the solid faith that Goliath would fall. He even says, in other words, what would the reward be when this happens? David didn't use the word if, but he spoke in terms of when the defeat would occur. So where did David get this way of thinking, this solid faith, this idea that this 9-foot guy is going to fall, it's just a matter of when? praise and hearing stories of God's victories from Moses in the Red Sea and Israel's victory at the walls of Jericho, but it never occurred to him that this pagan could defeat the Israelites, the soldiers of God. Never crossed his mind. His faith was unwavering and undoubted. It was rock solid. Do you have such a solid faith against adversities in your life? Do you look at the situation and say, when God does this, when God takes action, X, Y, Z is going to happen. When God does something, this is going to happen. God will take care of this no matter what it is. And whatever your situation is, God will take care of it. Or do you say, I sure do hope God will do something. I sure do hope. I wish. Maybe God will step in. Maybe God won't. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever 9-foot giant you're up against, you're standing toe-to-toe. It could be health issues. It could be financial problems. It could be whatever you're worried about. God will not be defeated. Period. God will not be defeated. But you have to have solid faith in knowing God will not be defeated. He created us in His image. And He provides this far-reaching grace that we so don't deserve. And yet he's never been defeated. In the thousands and thousands of years and stories that we've read and that we pray over and that we've studied, God has never been defeated. And that's where our solid faith comes in. It isn't the stats in a basketball game. Well, they're kind of equally paired. They're 1-1 this season, and so is the team they're playing. No, God is infinite and zero. That is his stats. Why can't we have solid faith in that? Why do we do that? Why do we doubt? You've heard the statement, God is good, and people reply, all the time. And all the time? Why is that so damn hard to believe? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That's a solid faith statement right there, if I ever heard one. Now, the basketball players I saw last night came onto the court, they were ready to go. They were ready to go. You may doubt yourself, but you were ready to go. Not knowing what they were going to have for the 4 periods they were playing. They were prepared to sweat, and they did. They were prepared to run, and they did that a lot. They were prepared to work hard as a team. And they were prepared to win. They were prepared to run the race. They had a solid faith in their coach. They had solid faith in each other. They had solid faith, at least what I can see, to get the job done. Now, David's second type of faith is called a living faith. Write verse 32 next to that note. Verse 32 is a living faith. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." There it is. There's David's living faith right there. He demonstrated his faith. He showed his living faith by stepping up. I want you to highlight that verse. When the Israelites were scared of Goliath, David, obviously frustrated at their lack of doing something, said, "I'm not going to let this guy intimidate us. I'll fight him." What's wrong? Faith that lasts through life circumstances is a living faith. David's faith was born. He even says later on that he was confident in his faith because he defended his sheep against a lion and a bear. So David knew God would also be there. David counted on God. He showed the world that he had living faith in his abilities. Without the everyday use of our talents and our abilities for God, we cannot face the big giants, the undertakings, the obstacles. We cannot help those who are facing their giants. Many of us disobey God by refusing to live out our love for Jesus and our love for others. Someone told me a while back that they know that I want people to step outside their comfort zone and serve others and evangelize and witness and testify, whatever words you want to place there. Now, some people just aren't good at it, and they need options. If you have a solid faith in God's power, matter what situation, there's only one option, and that's God's will for you. There's only one option. We will never grow if we consistently refuse to live out our faith. Pastor A.W. Tozer is an older pastor from the late 1800s, early 1900s, describing the unusual characteristics of a Christian. He said, a real Christian is an odd number, anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he's never seen, talks intimately every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes all understanding. To have a living faith means embracing a lifestyle that contradicts most of what society thinks we should be living. We need to use our abilities and our talents, much like David, and step up and be a living faith, a living example of our faith, and say, I'll fight. I'll go. The players on the basketball court, regardless of their sizes, played their hearts out in the very last second. They used their abilities and their knowledge, and they tried. And that's all that was ever asked of them, was that they tried. The big guys were guarded by the little men, and the girls had no issue jumping in the guy's face to grab the ball. It wasn't about being comfortable. It was about the overall mission of the game. Life presents us with situations that are challenging, our methods that challenge the way we do things, but we have to be ready to make the right play. Are we going to jump in and grab the ball and guard the giant girl and giant guy that's bigger than us? Are we going to take on two or three in a jump ball situation and get the ball? Or are we going to stand on the sidelines wishing someone else would take our place? David didn't waste any time jumping in and standing face to face with his giant for Israel. The last type of faith that David had that we can see is called courageous faith. And that's in verses 45 and 46. This is a powerful statement. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. Now, can you imagine this little guy standing in front of this giant and proclaiming that? That gives you chills if you think about it. I will let the world know that there is a God in Israel. Kind of like a mic drop moment, like, ooh, yeah, okay. I mean, it really was like, okay, this is about to happen, so you best be ready. He stepped up to the Goliath. He declared the power of God just before he took him down. He stood his ground. He had that solid faith, and he knew the Lord was behind him. He made a lasting declaration of not only God's power, but that was a lasting declaration of his faith in that power. When we're talking about walking into the unknown of our daily lives, are we doing so with the courage knowing that we have God's power behind us? Are we entering circumstances declaring that there is a God in your life? Can people see God in you through your life? David said, you may bring your weapons, but I bring your father. So you best go ahead and call him. That's kind of what that statement said. We enter those difficult moments, those moments where we're scared to act. But if you're a believer in that, and you have that faith in the risen Christ, and you know that the presence of the Holy Spirit is working in you, and you know that God is almighty, then it's with a courageous faith. You can declare that there is a God in our giant world. He has all the power. He can bring us through anything. last night. Some of them may have never stepped foot on a court before. They may have never dribbled a ball longer than just from one baseline to the other. They may have never guarded anybody, or boxed out, or run a block. They may have done anything like that. But when they saw Giants coming down the court, dribbling that ball, full steam ahead, and some of them needed some air brakes. I mean, they were running pretty hard. They still played. They still stood there and defended their positions. They still worked hard to play the game. Some got fouled. Some got charged. Some got hit. Some even got knocked down. And they continued to play hard. There were even comments from family members that said, well, maybe they are about them not hard. But it didn't stop them playing. It didn't stop any of them from rolling on in the game. If you have a relationship with God right now, I'm here to tell you that you will get fouled, you will get hit, you will get charged, and you will get knocked down. But you should have the courageous faith to run to the goal and complete the mission and face the giant. The task before you, as Ralph Emerson said, the task before you is never as great as the power behind you. Task before you is never as great as the power behind you. When you have the power of God behind you. A solid faith. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. A living faith. Stepping up, volunteering to face the giants of life for yourself or for someone else, whatever that may be. A courageous faith. Running to the fight with God's power behind you. Declaring your faith before all who can hear, that there is a God in the world who can overcome anything. That is small faith in a giant world. Amen.
Thank you.
I'll be fist bumping you on the way out. Please don't be offended. I still love you. But let us pray. Father God, I thank you again that we can gather as believers together. We can discern your will for this church and our community and our lives. Lord, give us the solid faith, the living faith, and the courageous faith to face the giants that challenge us day to day. Let us stand up for others who may not have that faith. Protect us as we depart this place, and give us your understanding of how we can live out this week. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.